Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. A busy, busy day here on the program. A lot of information to get to share with you today, including this breaking news item out of the great state of Oklahoma. Oklahoma, the reddest state in America. Every single county in Oklahoma in 2016 and 2020 went to President Trump. This did not happen in any other state in the union, except for Oklahoma. Anyway, Governor Kevin Stitt has lifted all capacity restrictions and removed the mask mandate. So now the good people of Oklahoma are free once again. And I just want to offer this as a word of advice and congratulations to the good people of Oklahoma. But you folks can't let that happen again. Don't you let them take away your freedom again. Only you can allow someone to take away your freedom. You can't let them do that, folks. So anyway, that's great news for Oklahoma. The Texas Rangers have announced that they are going to advance to full capacity for baseball games. So every single seat filled in Texas. Now, I was listening to a very popular morning show here in the Memphis, Tennessee area, hosted by our good friend Tim Van Horn on KWAM. And as I was driving in this morning, he was pointing out the reason why the CDC and the brown shirts that run the CDC do not want people to gather in large arenas and large stadiums. And I never really thought about it like this, but it's a brilliant observation. So Van Horn says, hey, wait a second. The reason why they don't want the Texas Rangers to fill their stadium is because it's going to prove there's no such thing as a super spreader event. I mean, what's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen in this country? Let's just say the next Texas Rangers game, they've got every seat filled, and I bet you're going to have people that don't even like baseball go into the stadium just to get out of the house. But what do you think would happen 2-3 weeks from now, when there was not a super spreader event, that nobody came down with raging cases of the China virus? What do you think is going to happen? I think the whole country is going to turn and they're going to reopen, get back to business. That's what I think is going to happen. Anyway, we'll get into more of that a little bit later this hour, but we have some folks that we held over. They want to weigh in on this despicable piece of the China virus relief bill that's about to be signed into law tomorrow. It includes $4 billion in reparations to minority farmers. If you are a black, Hispanic, or Asian farmer, you will receive $4 billion to wipe out your debt. But if you are a white farmer and you are in debt, you get diddly squat. You get nothing because you're a white farmer and therefore you have privilege. A lot of folks want to weigh in on this. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Terry in Arkansas on KARN. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me. I just want to say I was brought up on a farm, and we were dirt poor, and my uncle and my dad both been telling me stories all my life about how they used to have to go pick cotton. And I can't agree with you more. I think it's just, it's terrible. It's a terrible thing they're doing. And, you know, what's even sadder than that, the people don't even have a say-so in who gets the money or what this bill. I mean, they come up with this, and like you said, it's just, it's a terrible thing.
Terry, it is. And what makes it even worse is that we could have stopped this. We could have prevented this from happening, but we did not. And I blame everything that's happening over the next 4 years on the Never Trumpers. But ultimately, this is the Democrats. I mean, this is what they wanted, and this is what they got: reparations.
All right, I agree with you. I really do.
Terry, appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to the Liberty University newsmaker line. What an honor to have with us from the great state of Texas, Congressman Arrington. Congressman, good to have you on the show today.
Todd, always good to be with you, and God bless your listeners.
You know, Congressman, I know you've got to be feeling pretty good about the news coming out of Arlington. The Texas Rangers say, hey, we're going to fill every seat, and they're not going back. So they're looks like they're fighting the good fight out there.
Well, Texas is open for business, and I'm proud that we're getting most of all proud that our children are back in school because of the damage long term to them. I mean, we're putting $2 trillion just throwing all this money, the Democrats are, at their cronies and at the blue state, you know, leaders and city Democrat leaders. And we have $1 trillion that hasn't even been spent. And what we really need is to get folks back to work, making a living, not paying them more to be on unemployment, which is a disincentive to our recovery. So I'm very proud of our state and our Republican leadership.
I will say this, Congressman. In the last hour, we were talking about this portion of, what, $4 billion going to clear out the debt of minority farmers, but white farmers get nothing. And that has really outraged our listeners.
Well, it is. It flies in the face, ironically, of civil rights. I mean, it's discriminatory. And this is what we said when we talked about this is not a COVID relief bill. It is a Trojan horse for the partisan policies of the left. And this is part of it. And there's a long list. Some of it was thrown out in the Senate like a federally mandated wage increase, but there was still horrible moral hazards like bailing out union pensions, bailing out cities and states that were poorly managed and were a fiscal wreck before COVID. One example, cash flush California, who has a surplus from 2020, is going to get the most of the, quote, state aid at $40+ billion. So it is a wreck. It's a train and parade of horribles. But the Democrats rammed and jammed it, and there wasn't a single Republican. And in fact, they lost a Democrat out of the deal.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend Congressman Jody Arrington. Congressman, we're looking at, they're calling it a crisis at the border. I think it's really an apocalypse. I mean, this is just jaw-dropping. Even the Mexican government, they're asking, what in the world is Biden up to?
Well, it's interesting you brought up the Mexican government. The President Trump, say what you want about his style and personality and beauty contest. He did what it took. He had the political courage to actually put the measures in place to drop illegal border crossings by 75%. And he actually got the country of Mexico to do more to stop illegal immigration and secure the border than the United States Congress. And now you've got a president that has basically just opened up the floodgates by unwinding everything that Trump put in place just because it has the name of Trump on it, irrespective of the merits. And he's also a president who's placating the left. I mean, he will just do whatever they demand, and now we're paying. He's sowing the wind, and border states like Texas especially are reaping the whirlwind. And these poor people who are being exploited by the cartels, and these kids who are being used as a passport, who are being trafficked here at record numbers, tripled the number. It's an abomination, and it is a crisis, even though Biden won't say it. He's suspending reality for a while again, but it's horrible for the country, and it's devastating border communities.
What the Biden administration doing to these tens of thousands of children at the border, would you say this is akin to child abuse?
Oh, It is absolutely, first of all, aiding and abetting and enabling that abuse that starts long before they come across the border, right? With these drug cartels whose new best business line is human smuggling. But yes, they get over here. And of course, Biden said we'd only have 50% capacity. They've blown through that. Some have upwards of 100% capacity. And meanwhile, he can't do anything to the unions who they're trying to line their pockets with COVID money to open the doors to our struggling students. But he'll put these kids together and he'll release them into the interior of our country. Even though if you and I took a trip outside of the country and we tested positive, we can't get back into our own country. We can't get to our house. But meanwhile, it's free for all for folks who've broken the law, violated our sovereignty, and compromised the American people's safety and security.
Yeah, this is the big concern I have, Congressman. One set of rules for the illegals, another set for law-abiding American citizens. But again, you're looking at all these children. I just don't know how they're able to release these kids into the interior without knowing who their parents are, who their legal guardians are. It's mind-blowing.
They don't know. They don't have a clue. All they're doing is trying to satisfy an insatiable appetite from the radical open border left. And now they've just got a firestorm. And you've got 300-plus kids being detained a day. We are on pace to have 120,000 this year, which is 30% over the prior record year. So the signal is clear. President Biden is not prioritizing the safety of the American people. And the other message to the rest of the world is cross our borders, violate our laws, and you will not be detained and deported. You will be released and rewarded. And that incentive, that encouragement and enablement is what's creating an epic disaster, as you said, unmitigated disaster and crisis.
All right, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We've got to head out for a break, but we really appreciate the time you spent with us, and thanks for the important news coming from the border.
Always great to be with you, Todd. Again, blessings to you and your listeners.
All right, Congressman Jody Arrington, the Republican from Texas, with the latest from our border, and it really is bad, folks. We're talking apocalypse. There's no crisis here. This is a grave, grave problem. And your tax dollars are funding all of this nonsense. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, let's get right to the phones. 844-747-8868. Benton, Arkansas, Cole on the line. Hi, Cole. What's happening today?
Well, I was listening to you talk about the Corona Relief Aid, or the bill that's introduced, and it got me thinking about how we need to be careful when using their language, because we know the media controls the mindsets of the people by presenting their information in certain ways to help push their agenda. So I propose that we no longer call it coronavirus relief, but call it the Pelosi payoff.
The Pelosi payoff.
Yes, sir. Just to highlight the fact, every time we talk about it, we need to talk about it in those terms. They control the message of the time.
Well, that's a fair point you bring up there, Cole, because ultimately the China virus relief bill provides no relief for the China virus. So I get your point there.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to bring it up. It seemed like it was very pressing.
I like it. All right. Cole from Benton, Arkansas says, we've got to start calling this what it is. It's the Pelosi payoff. All right. Let's go to Morehead City, North Carolina. Bob on the line. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Hey, question and philosophy from your point of view. Evidently, President Biden appears to be weakening and so forth, and pretty soon they're going to replace him with Kamala Harris. My question is, how is the new vice president selected, picked, or voted on to replace Kamala Harris as the vice president? Do you know?
Well, yes. So I believe, and I'm going to have to go back and do my history. You caught me off guard here, Bob. But I believe that the Congress has to approve or at least confirm the replacement VP. And if I am wrong, someone will, I'm sure, call in and correct me. But I believe there is a process through Congress where they have to approve that.
Is any prerequisites, or does the people not have a say in this? Or
well,
is the Democrats
Bob, going back, and again, I'm stretching here on this one, but I'm going back to Richard Nixon. Now, you remember before Watergate popped up, Spiro Agnew was his vice president, and Agnew got himself in hot water and had to resign. And at the time, Gerald Ford was in Congress, and he was the pick. And the reason why they picked Ford is because he was so well-liked up on Capitol Hill, so they wouldn't have any problems getting him through.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just wondered when Obama's going to show up.
Now, look, you know, Bob, interesting point here. Someone sent me an email last night, and they're in the know in Washington, D.C., and they said, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised if the VP, if Biden, or not really if, but when Biden steps aside, don't be surprised if that VP is Pete Buttigieg. Man, that would be Diversity USA right there, my friend. All right, Bob, appreciate the call. Thank you for that. Let's go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bruce. All right, Bruce, you want to talk about reparations.
Right. First and foremost, Todd, I'm kind of a new listener, and I greatly appreciate your show. It's a lot of fun. Some of the terminology that you use, I don't understand. I'm a nice Jewish boy, so like when you say Mark of the Beast, I'm not really sure what that means, so that would be helpful if, you know, you could just kind of like add that in.
Bruce, I'll be happy to do that, and I will tell you, I suffered the same thing when I moved to New York City. I had no idea what a schmear was. Down at the bagel shop. So
a bagel with a schmear? Are you serious? You don't know what that is?
I didn't know what that was.
Oh, my goodness. I throw my forearm across my forehead.
Oy vey! Oy vey!
Yeah, oy vey is schmear.
Well played.
So, you know, there's a certain terminology I don't understand. But anyway, a couple of things. Number one, I'm a second-generation American. My grandma and grandpa, of blessed memory, came from the Galiciani area of Europe, which is southern Poland into the Ukraine. And I have the dates they arrived.
Bruce, let me hop in here. Can you hold on? We're about to have to take a quick break here, but I want to. I wasn't paying attention to the call, the time. So hang tight, Bruce, because I want to hear your story. And we're going to have to get Bruce a primer on Baptist ease, I guess. All right. That may be my next book project. All right. Hang tight, Bruce. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, for those of you following the royals and the big kerfuffle, Prince William is getting involved now. He says the royals are very much not a racist family. I don't understand how these people talk over there. You know, why can't they just get right to the Prince William, sir, are you a racist? Are you freaking kidding me? What's wrong with you? Stupid question. But Prince William, instead of doing that, says, oh, well, tally-ho, we are very much not a racist family. Cheerio. So anyway, that's your update on the royals. All right, let's go back to Arkansas. So Bruce, who has explained to us what a schmear is, is a second-generation American, wants to weigh in on farmer reparations. So, Bruce, let's pick up where we left off.
Okay, farmer reparations. My family came here, respectively, 1921, 1924. My family never had a slave. They were my grandfather was very poor in Europe. He went through the Bolshevik Revolution and survived that. My grandmother's family was wealthy. They had servants that they paid, but no slaves. And they came to America. The people in America here that are immigrants, why the heck should they fund this idiocy? Why should somebody who's a first generation or a new immigrant fund this? And what are the Democrats going to do? Are they going to take the people they've given $1,400 to that are illegals and have them pay too? That I'd like to see. I think it's completely ridiculous. I think it's completely unfair, and I think it's completely un-American.
Well, I'm in complete agreement here, Bruce, and you brought up a fair point. Most Americans never owned slaves. Most of us were our ancestors were dirt poor. I can tell you the Stearns family. My great 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 grandfather was an itinerant Methodist preacher. And you all right there, Bruce? It sounds like a lot's going on.
Absolutely.
You're not
fine.
All right, I thought maybe you were getting mugged or something. I didn't know what was going down.
Sorry.
But
beautiful day. I'm
going to
sit outside and talk to you.
Oh well, that's nice. It's a lovely day here in Memphis as well. But yeah, Grandpa Stearns was what, second generation, or he was second or third generation American, but he was an itinerant Methodist preacher. He was broke, so you know what he did on the side, Grace Baker? This is a fascinating story.
What did he do? Pick cotton.
Well, no, he didn't pick. Well, we did have cotton pickers in our family. Oh, we can't say cotton pickers, can we? No, we can't say cotton picking. We can say cotton picker.
Only if you say finger licking in front of it.
Oh, that's good. Okay, thank you for that, Bruce. No, he was a moonshiner. So he would preach on Sunday, and he had a moonshine business on the side.
That's hilarious.
He wasn't all that good of a preacher, but it was one heck of a communion service. I'll tell you that.
Oh, I bet.
I'm telling
you. That's awesome.
You. True story. Well, Bruce, we're just honored to have you as a part of our listening audience. I want you to give us a holler back one of these days, and thanks for being a part of our radio family here. So good. No, I am serious. It is absolutely true, Grace, that we have that little bit of history in the Stearns family. So anyway, all right, let's get to the phone lines. The Liberty University newsmaker line. Today is an interesting day in America. It is the birthday of the Girl Scouts, and I don't even know if we're allowed to call them Girl Scouts anymore. Do they? Because I think they have transgender Scouts. Or do they just call them the Scouts? No, that's the Boy Scouts that are, and they're no longer the Boy Scouts because they do allow girls and girls who identify as boys. It's all a big mess, which is why we have been very active in supporting groups like Trail Life USA as a fine alternative to the Boy Scouts, and also American Heritage Girls, which has been around for 25 years, and they have been doing an incredible job of raising up those next generation of American patriotic girls and young women. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, we're very honored to have Patty Garibay with us, who is the president and founder of American Heritage Girls. Hi, Patty. How's it going today?
Good, Todd. It's good to chat with you again.
You know, I can't think of a better time for an organization like American Heritage Girls when there truly is a literal war on biological women being waged in this country.
Absolutely. And the blurring of the gender lines is just increasingly confusing, especially to today's girls.
And it seems to me, and a lot of people, you know, as much as they love the cookies, and I was a Thin Mint guy back in the day, but, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Girl Scouts funding some pretty nefarious things out there.
Absolutely. And what you might not realize is when you buy those cookies, you're actually paying a royalty to the Girl Scouts to continue their really crazy agenda, which is mostly not aligned with that average cookie buyer. I mean, last year, $9 million in royalty fees went to the national organization to promote what they stand for these days.
So, Patty, I want you to give our listeners an idea of what American Heritage Girls is and how is it different than what the Girl Scouts are up to?
Absolutely. It was born really out of the changes that occurred in the Girl Scouts. Back in the 70s, as far back as the 70s, Todd, Betty Freed Ann served on the board of the National Girl Scouts Board of Trustees. And from there on, until the 90s, when in 1993 they decided to change the Girl Scout promise to no longer mandate an oath to God, which was really philosophically foundational for that organization and for that founder. And today is just a day, I am sure, for the foundress. Juliet Gordon Lowe, who was a regular Bible reader, believed in Jesus Christ and believed the importance of a character development program based on his truths. And it is far from that today. And so as a result, in 1995, I felt the Lord calling me, unequipped as I am and was, to start something that would be based on his truths, that would be using scouting methods that are so effective and fun, but yet built around a biblical worldview. And 25 years later, I think the Lord has blessed that work. Many, many hundreds of thousands of families have been encouraged, and their girls have been taught the way they should go through this program.
And I'm just curious here, how things have been going. You know, I mean, are you getting a lot of folks that are either leaving the Girl Scouts or maybe girls that have never been involved in any scouting organization?
It's really truly a mix of both. I mean, I think it's been out there for a while that the Girl Scouts have problems, that they're not what they used to be. And so parents have either decided not to put their daughters in at all and have been looking for some sort of program to help with the faith formation of their daughter, as well as have a lot of fun and grow socially and get off those devices that we're also attuned to. But also there's people leaving the Girl Scouts because they are being more and more, the scales are coming off their eyes to see what they're really standing for.
And again, it's one thing just to, you know, I guess people can walk away from scouting, but honestly, I think one of the reasons America was so great back in the day is that you really did have strong, God-centered scouting programs. And of course, they started veering away from their foundations. And of course, it's a cultural free-for-all now.
It truly is. And I think all of those things the scouting movement had brought to America are still very relevant today, except it's pretty well woke, you know, it's a cancel culture, right? So we're not going to talk about patriotism, and we're not going to talk about faith, and we're not going to talk about life skills and vocations. We're going to talk about careers and breaking glass ceilings and being a loud voice. And so all of this has sort of been turned upside down, and God forbid that we talk about girls being girls. So what? It's a very confusing world out here, but you know what? The girls still need to know what is truth. And so for a time such as this, I like to say it's an Esther moment for American Heritage Girls to help bring up this next generation in the way they should go and to understand who they are and whose they are, their identity in Christ, and what a beautiful thing that is. You don't need to demand things when you can walk in the confidence of who you are in the Spirit.
Well, so well said. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Patty Garibay, who is the founder of American Heritage Girls, and of course, we're huge supporters of that program on this show, and also Trail Life USA, which is an incredible alternative to the Boy Scouts. Patty, where can people go if they want to get more information about American Heritage Girls?
Absolutely. Just visit our website, AmericanHeritageGirls.org. Or you can also tune into our new blog that is a parenting help for parents that want to know how to navigate this culture, and that would be raisinggodlygirls.org. So either of those places, you'll find out more about American Heritage Girls and also more about how to raise up your daughter in the way they should.
Patty, do you sell cookies? Do y'all have the cookies?
Absolutely not. And a matter of fact, we allow all of our troops to choose what is their best fundraiser for what they need to do and what is really an asset in their communities. So it's up to the girl. Free will, Todd, free will.
No, look, I get it. I love the cookies, but I stopped getting the cookies when I found out what my money was being used for. I mean, that's pretty awful. So I was just curious. But anyway, nevertheless, there might be a troop out there selling cookies if that's what they want to do.
That's right. We like to be known for our program rather than our product, and I think that's important.
Free will. I love it. All right, Patty, always good hearing from you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, and it's good to talk with you.
All right. There you go. American Hair. I do love those cookies, though. All right. The tagalongs, eh, but the Thin Mints, hey, that's it right there. That's my jam. All right, got to take a break here. When we come back, crime news across the Fruited Plain. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hey, I know a lot of you folks out there are big fans of the Food Network, and one of the more popular shows on there is hosted by Reed Drummond, the Pioneer Woman, if you've watched that program, and I suspect many of you have. As a matter of fact, Reed is a friend of, sort of, well, an acquaintance, so we've had a chance to meet a time or two, and just real good, salt-of-the-earth, hardworking folks. They run, it's a working family ranch, and the story, which is not good, there have been a lot of violent winds that have been sweeping across a big part of the heartland, and there was a fire on the family farm in Osage County, Oklahoma. Reed Drummond's husband, Lad, and her nephew, Caleb, who have been on, he's been on the show quite a bit, were trying to put out the fire, zero visibility. They were driving in separate trucks, and they had a head-on collision. Now, Lad Drummond was okay. He had minor injuries, but Caleb was, who's 21 years old, was ejected from the truck, thrown 70 feet away, and has some pretty serious injuries. So you folks, be sure to pray for the Drummond family. Pray for Caleb. He's at the St. John Medical Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's in critical condition with head, arm, and leg injuries. And let's just pray for a miracle for the Drummond family. They have brought so much joy to so many people, and they need our support right now. All right, time now for a little bit of crime news across the country.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
All right, from Cheese Country, a Wisconsin State Patrol trooper pulled over a man in a pickup truck for an equipment violation. It soon turned a lot more interesting. The man was using a folding... This is, are you kidding me? The man was using a foldable camping chair as his driver's seat. So the vehicle, the pickup truck, had no, like, seats.
You got to improvise.
Officials say there were no seats in the truck at all, except for the folding chair. Oh, it was equipped with cup holders. That's
ooh,
clever.
Fancy.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that's a crime. You've got to make sure you have workable seats with, I guess, seatbelts. But at least he had something to put his, you know, Baptist martini in.
There you go.
Of course, yeah. That's the necessity for him.
Big time necessity. All right, next story. This is from thesmokinggun.com. A woman, somebody's microphone is on. A woman freaked out over a song called La Freak.
Yeah. Classic song right there.
Love that song. Oh.
Oh, is this it?
Yep, there it is. Yep.
Yeah. Have you never heard this song before?
Good God. No, really. I love this song, though. Can we play that again? I love that.
Makes you want to dance.
Mm-hmm. It does. Puts a little pep in your step. That's a toe tapper, as they say at the Baptist church. Mary Ann Lannon became very upset after the 64-year-old victim, who is Lannon's cousin, put the 1978 song on repeat. I guess they lived together. Oh, this is in Florida.
Oh,
okay. That explains a lot. It explains a lot. Tampa Bay, they share an apartment together. She does not look very happy.
Well, she's been listening to that song on
dare
repeat.
Dare I say she looks freaked out?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying. Yeah, there you go. All right, next crime story here. 12-year-old girl, also from Florida, Tampa. What's going on in Tampa?
They're just causing lots of trouble.
She's apparently a gun runner at the ripe old age of 12.
Wow.
She was arrested for selling stun guns to her classmates.
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't read the entirety of the story, but I want to know how many stun guns she had that she sold out. Because
where
if she had
parents?
More than... Yeah. If she had more than two, I will be very impressed.
It's like, little Sally, your backpack looks a little heavy there. What you got in there?
From
stun guns.
Burbank, California, police were raiding a trailer park, and they went inside a trailer. They were searching for some guy who was stealing catalytic converters. But what they found was a 400-pound playground slide.
Whoa!
In the child's bedroom. How do you get that into a trailer?
That's what I want to know.
It's literally, the entire trailer is that slide.
Dang!
So, anyway.
Having a party.
Sounds like fun, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And perhaps my favorite story of the day, also from the great state of Florida.
Of course. The best ones are.
There's a lot of freaky stuff going on in Florida.
Oh, my gosh. You had to do that, didn't you?
I'm having fun.
Yeah, he's going to use that for throughout the rest of the show.
An ex-con is back behind bars after... You see, this is why you got to keep him in jail. She's behind bars after she allegedly struck her male roommate in the face. And what did she strike the roommate with? It was not a frying pan. It wasn't a glass. It wasn't a hammer. It was a cat.
What?
Oh, God.
Jeez, that's terrifying.
Police say that Wendy Hurd, age 56, and her 73-year-old male companion were involved in a verbal argument in Largo, Florida, when the dispute turned violent. Hurd, cops say, took her cat and threw it on the victim's face, causing the cat to scratch the victim.
Did he claw his eyes out?
No, but after she finished beating the guy upside the head with the feline, she used her fist.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Poor fella.
But I got to tell you, she took a really nice mugshot. She looks very pleasant, very happy there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, the people whose mugshots, when they're like, when they have a smile on their face, you know that they don't care for the reason that they're in there. They're like, I've been wanting to do that for a really long time, and I will gladly take this punishment.
The cat, though, wasn't too happy. As a matter of fact, dare I say, it looks like the cat freaked out.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just telling you. I just love that song. What can I say? All right, there you go. Crime news across the country. Bunch of sickos. Got to take a break. Senator Rand Paul coming up next. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.